At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I am Gaius in Londinium, and Germanicus is here, and we have Roman matters to deal with that are in the 21st century and the 18th century. And these Roman matters are not surprising to us. We understand that our empire here in the first century AD is the foundation for the empire of the Americans in the 21st century AD. And that is an obvious fact. We don't need to prove it, but it is surprising how these echoes keep coming up even though we're not looking. We begin with the news of the week that the expectation was a negotiation in Constantinople, sometimes called Istanbul, between the principals, that would be NATO and the Russian Federation and its allies, Beijing, Tehran, Pyongyang, and the Americans leading NATO. That did not come through, although Mr. Rubio was annoyed that there was the possibility and it didn't happen. And Mr. Zelensky, a foil in this matter, proposed that he meet Vladimir Putin in Constantinople. Very odd. That would be punching down for Mr. Putin. He is the emperor of the Russian Federation. Mr. Zelensky represents what's left of Ukraine. But I turn this over to Germanicus because all of this is a very slow-motion version of something Germanicus has already outlined. Russia wins. Ukraine deals with the remains of the state. NATO reorganizes. The U.S. may or may not withdraw. What we are waiting for now is a fact or not that the emperor in Washington, the new Rome, is going to converse with the emperor in Moscow, the old new Rome, and they're going to settle the dispute about Ukraine, Kyiv, which is sometimes New Jerusalem, sometimes old New Jerusalem. You understand, these are all symbols that matter over the 2,000 years between where we are in 91 AD in a spring night in Londinium and where the conversation takes place in the 21st century. Germanicus, a very good evening to you. I mentioned you and I don't need to shop for these things. They just come to us. A meeting in Istanbul, Constantinople, and it did not happen. I'm not looking for the fault. I'm looking for what it is that is magical about that city that would have helped if they'd actually showed up. Good evening to you.
Good evening, guys. You know, it's one of the great ironies that I don't think is much appreciated, that insisting on changing Constantinople's name to Istanbul is indirectly an homage, again, to the Greco-Roman world and antiquity and to the idea of a great imperial city that is sort of the queen of cities. Because Istanbul is Greek, Istanbulis, it means to the city. And what is the city? Constantinople. And the need to invest yourself with a kind of, you know, great historical authority by conducting symbolic ritual business there is irresistible to all parties. It's one thing, again, ironically, that they all share. Unfortunately, Mr. Zelensky tried to pull a stunt there. The idea of having some sort of summit negotiation with Mr. Putin was always foolish, but the Ukrainians kept the Russian delegation waiting there for hours and hours, and then the delegation was very forthright. And in fact, rather than being a trap for Russia, it turned into an opportunity where they had a podium, a stage in Constantinople, where they could again present Russia's terms for a settlement, not a ceasefire, not an armistice or a suspension of hostilities in any form, but a settlement, a true settlement. And they reiterated all of that. And then, of course, the U.S. comes out again with a 22-point plan. Again, 22 is a bit bigger than 14, which was Wilson's sacred number. But they don't; those 22 proposals do not address the key issues behind the war. And the only pathway to a settlement is at some point to accept the core elements of the Russian bottom line. And so I'm not sure really what will happen in a phone call, but a phone call will be important as, yet another Tilsit meeting between the two emperors, and will offer an opportunity yet again for Mr. Putin to speak directly to Mr. Trump and tell him yet again exactly what the bottom line is for Russia. It's very simple, but it's essential. And I can reiterate that now, but I think we all know what it is. The problem for Mr. Trump now, and again, we've talked about this several times, is that the longer he postpones finding some pathway to achieving a settlement with Russia, the more he runs the risk of this war becoming his war, and the more of a briar patch, tar baby, swamp, morass it becomes for him. And I don't think he can put that off too much longer. And it's also for a third irony this evening to mention that he will be, in all probability, saved by Mr. Putin, because the continuing unraveling of the Russian lines continues as we speak every day. And it is an unraveling that goes across the entire line of contact, as they call it, the entire front, you know, the Ostfront in the East. And at some point, it's going to collapse. And at that point, it will be a great moment of truth, because at that point, there will be no alternative. So essentially, a Russian successful offensive offers Mr. Trump a timeline. And he's in a position where the sweet spot, to use that cliche, lies somewhere between the rejection by Russia of the 22-point American plan and the ultimate collapse of the Ukrainian situation on the battlefield, which would be a terrible terrible blow and probably the end of NATO right there. So something needs to be done in that space sooner, preferably from everyone's standpoint, rather than later. So I think these next several months will be key. Now, I think Mr. Trump, if he can reach an agreement with Iran, will gain stature from that. And that will give him authority and a higher standing with the American people, which will allow him to wait a little bit longer. But it will not give him sufficient stature to become bellicose with Russia, because that would tend to threaten escalation and war. And I think Mr. Trump has already learned a lesson, or perhaps just received a useful insight in terms of the limits of what the U.S. can do militarily with the mini adventure in Houthi land, where the U.S. Suffered more than the Houthi, and the Houthi essentially enabled Mr. Trump to claim a victory, while they, of course, also claimed a victory, which was more justly theirs. But nonetheless, they created a context where he could extricate. And I think he may have learned from that. And I think Mr. Putin is perfectly willing to do that, but only within the limits of the Russian bottom line. I keep saying bottom line because there is no possible way in which Russia will, after having lost over 100,000 dead in battle, is going to buy a temporary respite from hostilities so that Ukraine can rearm and they can go at it again somewhere down the line. I mean, not only is Mr. Putin tremendously sensitive to the issue of Russian casualties, but he is also tremendously sensitive to the fact that he has nearly the full support of the Russian people, and a rather passionate support, too. And I read reports from Russia. There is great unity now in Russia, and he has to fulfill, therefore, the expectations of the Russian people. Now, contrast that to the expectations of the American people, which are primarily get us out of this war, do not let it escalate. So the pathway for Mr. Trump is straightforward in terms of his strategic choices, or rather the space, the boundary space for those choices. But he does not have the option of upping sanctions and putting more, quote unquote, pressure on Mr. Putin. That would be self-defeating for him politically and for his future. And his future is winnowing in terms of the time he has to cement his, you know, historical contribution to humankind and the United States of America. So I think you're going to see a resolution, but it won't happen tomorrow morning.
Germanicus, a quick question. Just a minute. Constantinople is a magical name. Yes. That's the Eastern Empire of Rome. That is the foundation for what we're talking about. They continued the traditions of the Roman people until the conquest by the Ottomans. Naming that city as a place to negotiate, is it your sense that they were without irony when they did that, or did they understand what they were proposing?
The Ukrainians the Ukrainian regime has very little capacity for anything outside the compass of its narrow Banderite ideology. In other words, the current Ukrainian nationalism is the creation of some wild, crazy people in the 1920s and after. So they wanted the positive spin from being in Istanbul, which would tend to elevate Zelensky. But without Mr. Putin being there, there was very little option. In other words, so many of the gambits that Ukraine has pursued have failed, and some of them have failed disastrously, like the invasion in the Kursk region. So it's merely trying to buy time and to maintain his stature, but that's not possible. As you said, these figures, along with Starmer and Macron and whoever Tusk is in charge in Germany.
Tusk and Merz.
Pardon me?
Merz for Germany and Tusk for Poland. Yes.
Yes, Tusk. Let's not forget Tusk. Tusk is probably has the greatest authority of all of them, but simply because he has a real military. But it's a situation that's unraveling for the Europeans and for Kiev. And that is not bad. It's not bad for Mr. Putin, but it's not bad for Mr. Trump, because he's laid the groundwork for all of this. He's laid the groundwork for the U.S. stepping in and saying, enough is enough. We're going to come to a settlement, not a ceasefire. And you fools have been,
I didn't hear a veto going to Kyiv. Did you hear a veto?
A veto on who?
I didn't hear that Kyiv has a veto. London has a veto. Paris has a veto.
Oh, no. No, but the failure here,
they're standing back and let this conversation go forward. They're not, whatever they say afterwards, they don't have a veto, is my reading.
Well, this was why I can't understand why Kiev risked this, because a foolish outcome, which is what Ukraine was able to achieve, only diminishes whatever vestigial authority they have. So now, you see, both Kiev and Moscow are giving Mr. Trump extra maneuver room, extra permission to come to a conclusion that we forged directly with Mr. Putin.
Let's go to the New Jerusalem, Washington, and America, because there's news from Tiberius's camp. This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm Gaius. Germanicus is here. We have our second cup of wine. The centurions are with us. The spring evening is promising. The Thames is beautiful. The sunset was gorgeous. And we're moving to talk about Tiberius, who is dealing with the remarks made by his own supporters after he stepped down from the empire. I'm John Batchelor.
When it comes to broccoli salad, Ohio, you got the secret ingredient on lock. Miracle Whip. Everyone from Toledo to Portsmouth knows that tangy zip. So here's to you for keeping it bold, keeping it zippy, and keeping Miracle Whip in all your favorite recipes. Buy now and get your tang on, Ohio.
This time of year, most of us are checking off our holiday gift lists. But identity thieves have lists too, and your personal information might be on them. Protect your identity with LifeLock. LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second and alerts you to threats you could miss. If your identity is stolen, LifeLock will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Make this season about joy, not identity theft, with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
At Pluralsight, we don't just teach skills. We are building the tech workforce who deliver results fast, accelerated by top-tier content. Lead with confidence. Lead with expertise. Visit us at Pluralsight.com to tap in and learn more.